Harold and Diana Green return to the United States from Mexico. They'll be placed under arrest. Now WEEI continues coverage with Christopher Glenn in New York, 9 o'clock.
CBS News, warnings about Iran and oil and potential energy shortages grew louder today as the nation's energy chief testified before the Senate Energy Committee. I'm Christopher Glenn, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Correspondent Nelson Benton has this report.
Energy Secretary James Schlesinger told Congress it is quite possible that mandatory fuel conservation measures, such as Sunday service station closings, will be required to deal with the continuing shutdown of Iranian oil production. Schlesinger described the shortage caused by political turmoil in Iran as prospectively more serious than the 1973 Arab oil embargo. Schlesinger said that he sees no indication that the slide of Iran toward chaos has been arrested. Before the shutdown, Iran exported 900,000 barrels of oil a day to the United States, about 5% of U.S. consumption. Saudi Arabia and other producers have stepped up production to fill some of the gap, but government and industry officials are uncertain for how long. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Washington.
More CBS News coming up.
Hello?
Marge, it's Fran. Oh. Did I wake you up?
Oh, no. I always talk like this in the middle of the night. Oh, anything wrong?
Nothing, really. It's just one of those nights when I can't fall asleep. I took an aspirin, but it did nothing for me.
Why should it? Aspirin's for headaches. What you need is a sleeping aid. On the way to work, pick up some Compose.
Headache? Take aspirin. Sleepless night? Take Compose. C-O-M-P-O-Z. Taken as directed before you go to bed, Compose actually helps you fall asleep when you want to fall asleep at bedtime.
Marge Walker.
Marge? Fran. Thought I'd call you during the day this time so as not to scare you to death.
Hi. How'd the Compose work?
Oh, great. I don't get sleepless nights often, but if I do again, Compose is what I'll take.
Headache? Take aspirin. Sleepless night? Take Compose. C-O-M-P-O-Z. Take only as directed. Compose is available at all drug counters.
Federal marshals went to the floor of a Chicago options exchange today to make arrests and break up an alleged cocaine ring. Don Perlman of CBS station WBBM has the story.
The raid was conducted just before closing time this afternoon at the Chicago Board of Options Exchange in the city's downtown financial district. Eight people were taken into custody, including a broker and three market makers, according to Vernon Meyer, regional director of the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration.
Those persons were engaged in the sale and distribution of cocaine on about the floor of the Chicago Board of Options Exchange.
Did agents witness an exchange being made prior to the arrest?
Yes, there was one exchange made at about the time of the arrest today, and a small amount of cocaine was seized.
The federal probe of the alleged cocaine transaction was conducted for about a year. Agents expect more arrests in the near future. Don Perlman for CBS News, Chicago.
Another bad day for the American dollar seems to be brewing on the foreign money exchanges. At the start of Thursday trading in Tokyo, the dollar was down nearly 2 yen from the figure at which it closed Wednesday. Wednesday, the price of gold on the London exchange responded to the dollar's woes by jumping to over $250 an ounce for the first time. And one dealer predicted that gold could go over $300 an ounce before this year is out. The State Department today responded to an article in the Washington Post alleging the Israelis sometimes torture Arab detainees in the occupied territories. State Department spokesman Hadding Carter said an accumulation of reports from Israeli-occupied lands makes it appear, quote-unquote, that some Arabs have been mistreated by Israeli officials. The Israeli government responded to the newspaper allegations with a statement of total denial. Retired Senator John Sparkman of Alabama is in a Huntsville, Alabama hospital for observation. Sparkman, 79 years old, was admitted after complaining of chest pains. Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger sent a letter to the Connecticut Republican chairman today discussing recent newspaper reports and denying he would under any conceivable circumstance run for the Senate from Connecticut. But Kissinger in the letter did not slam the door on the possibility he might seek a Senate seat from some other state. We'll have more after this.
CBS News has a brand new radio series for you. It's Follow Up every Saturday. On each broadcast, a CBS News correspondent reaches into the past for a news story that made big headlines. Then he'll bring the event up to date, He'll tell you what happened during the intervening time and offer new insights and analysis to put the story into perspective. Then there's something else for you every Saturday and Sunday. Each day you'll hear two editions of Mike Wallace at Large. On the broadcasts, Mike interviews leading personalities in all walks of life. Actors, actresses, entertainers, authors, politicians, top people who are breaking new ground on the current scene. Saturdays, it's Follow Up. Saturdays and Sundays, Mike Wallace at Large, both from CBS News. Listen, hear for them on CBS. More than ever, your number one radio network for news, programs, and sports.
Chinese Vice Premier Deng Xiaoping is on the last leg of the overseas travels that brought him to the United States. He's left Tokyo for Peking now after a two-day stopover and talks with government leaders there, during which he lashed out again at Vietnam following the recent ouster of the Chinese-backed regime in Cambodia by a Vietnamese invasion force. Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
When you buy a dog, you want to be sure that the dog you buy is a good dog, a healthy dog, the right dog for you and your family. And now you can be sure at Pedigree Pet Center. Now you can look all over Boston, but you just won't find a better dog than a Pedigree dog. Pedigree Pet Center in Saugus handles over 43 breeds from some of America's finest kennels. And once they get them, they really care for them behind glass, where they're kept safe and clean and immunized against infection. Now you'll feel better about buying your dog from Pedigree, a dog you can live with and love with pride. Visit the Pedigree Pet Center today, located in Saugus on Route 1 southbound in the Kmart Shopping Center. Personal checks and most credit cards are welcome, so you pay as you love and pay less at Pedigree. Cared for, loved, and protected. That's the doggone truth about dogs and about any pet you buy at your Pedigree Pet Center.
And Pedigree has big dogs, little dogs, puppy dogs, smooth dogs, hairy dogs, happy dogs, loving dogs, clean dogs, and you can pay as you love. Hurry in.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... G. Marshall. When you strike at a serpent that hisses, you may only cause it to spring. That's rather sage advice when you come to consider it. But why is it so often disregarded? Why do people poke at snakes? Why don't people let sleeping dogs lie? Perhaps it's just as well. After all, if everyone always did the sensible thing, whatever would we do for stories?
Miss Constant, didn't you say in front of many witnesses that you were going to kill Mr. Crawford?
Well, sometimes you say something that
Weren't you in his apartment at approximately the time of the murder?
Well, I only went there to...
And aren't your fingerprints on the knife that killed him?
But there must be an explanation.
There is. You're guilty of murder.
Our mystery drama, Everybody Does It, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Robert Dryden.
It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Maxwell House's coffee you can count on. Maxwell House, good to the last drop. Maxwell House, it really gets you going. Maxwell House. Good to the last drop. Maxwell House is...
Good morning.
Maxwell House is...
A good starter.
Good to the last drop. Maxwell House. Maxwell House is...
A good friend.
Maxwell House is...
Good company.
Good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
Maxwell House. Coffee you can count on. Always smells good. Always tastes good. Every Maxwell House coffee, always good to the last drop.
Maxwell House is...
Good taste.
Maxwell House is...
Good times.
Good to the last drop. Maxwell House. Maxwell House is...
Good relaxing.
Maxwell House is...
Good coffee.
Good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
Sometimes Maxie and me, we'd go out to dinner. But we always went to the same old place and sat at the same crummy counter. As for the rest of our social life, there wasn't any. Oh, yeah, we saw Jaws twice. Then one Thursday, Maxie brought home the newspaper with this really pretty magazine type of thing, and it called Metro Guide.
MetroGuide has made a new person out of me. MetroGuide is a complete listing of, well, everything. Everything there is to see and do in the whole of Greater Boston. MetroGuide is good reading, too. Lots of feature articles and critiques. It comes with our newspaper every Thursday, so Zachary and I, Zachary is Maxie's real name, can plan things in advance or do something fresh and fun on the spur of the moment. With MetroGuide, we don't miss a thing. Do we, Zachary?
And every Thursday, MetroGuide is a section of a lot of great evening newspapers, like the Patriot Ledger, the South Middlesex News, and the Salem Evening News. So if you're looking for an evening paper with complete local news, try one of these.
We're in one of those posh eating places where mediocre food is called by esoteric French names, and customers pay exorbitant, even obscene prices to be treated like cattle by an arrogant, ill-mannered staff. And yet they fight to get in. Why? You know why. To rub shoulders with, or at least stare, at the celebrities. And who is here tonight? Well, at one table, we have the voluptuously lovely, if somewhat aging, star, Margaret Constant. Nearby, Wilson Crawford, the illustrious critic.
Wilson, aren't you going to say hello to Margaret?
Perry, I'm no longer required to say hello to Margaret.
But you should say hello to Margaret.
How and why?
To prove that you're civilized. What are you doing?
What am I doing?
Wilson, you take me to dine at a place like this and I see you actually stealing packets of sugar?
Oh, well, stop laughing.
Can't help it.
Perhaps the whole thing is my subconscious reaction or my adjustment to a new austerity.
Oh, well, had I known you were strapped, I would have suggested a more modest place.
Yes, well, Perry, I asked you to dinner because I must have a serious talk with you.
Well, certainly. But first, you know, I think you should say hello to Margaret.
I don't think so.
For old time's sake?
For old time's sake, for new time's sake, for all time's sake, I divorced the woman and that's an end to it. Nothing could persuade me to talk to Margaret.
I happen to know something that just might.
Give it up, Perry.
Margaret has signed to do a new play.
That's no longer a personal concern.
It's called Saint Joan of Arc.
I find it awkward to... Saint Joan? Who's going to play Saint Joan?
Well, who are we talking about? Margaret.
Oh, no, I won't permit it.
A new drama.
Joan of Arc?
Yes, she goes into rehearsal next week.
Well, we'll see about that. Excuse me. I will say hello to Margaret. Where do you come off playing Joan of Arc?
Oh, good evening, Wilson.
I won't have it.
Won't you sit down? Oh, but just for a moment. I'm expecting someone important.
What is this Joan of Arc nonsense?
How have you been, Wilson?
Have you lost your senses?
I've regained them completely. The proof? I divorced you.
You are going to play Joan of Arc? You're 50.
43.
54. I was being kind. You're going to play Joan of Arc with that voluptuous figure, those smoldering eyes, that voice? You're going to play Joan of Arc?
Oh, this is going to be a Freudian interpretation.
Oh, Margaret, who has overwhelmed your senses, seduced you with this delusion?
Only the finest director in the world, Kavalevsky.
What, that charlatan?
That genius. You hate him because you cannot intimidate him.
A Freudian version of Joan of Arc. Margaret, do not appear in this play.
Run along, darling.
It's garbage. It's self-indulgent trash. I'll tear it apart.
Oh, reviewing it already. You haven't even seen it.
I'll destroy it.
We shall see. This will be Peter's masterwork and my greatest role, and everyone will acclaim it. Everyone but you.
Joan of Arc. I suggest you open it in a burlesque house.
Well, have you simmered down sufficiently?
A woman's an absolute fool.
So, what's to be done?
I have my own problems. Perry, would you pull over to the curb? I have to talk with you. I've been trying to broach the subject all night.
What subject?
Money.
Money?
I never worried about money. There was always enough and to spare. I made it, or Margaret made it. When we decided to part, I let her have everything.
Oh, well, I thought you had a better lawyer than that.
She's going to need it. She'll go broke trying to prove she's a serious actress. Well, now, I seem to be a bit short, and I was wondering if you could give me an advance. I thought I'd do a book of critical essays.
I don't publish critical essays. They don't make any money. Now, blockbuster, bestseller with all the dirt and the inside theater gossip of the past 20 years? Ho, 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 ho.
We've had this discussion before. I couldn't write such a book. Well, thanks anyhow, Perry. I'll just have to scale down my style of living or work a little harder.
Mm-hmm. Would you be interested in a rather lucrative special income?
Would I?
I can trust you, Wilson. And there's no reason why you shouldn't make some easy money.
Easy money?
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid that has an ominous sound.
But it's really very simple.
What would I have to do?
Well, people like you and me, we travel constantly.
Yes?
And you're always flying to London to see the new plays, and I scour the continent for literary properties. Thus, we may perform a service for certain people.
What sort of service?
A messenger service.
The more I hear this, the less I like.
Well, we are eminently reputable people. Who would suspect us of anything, or even think to watch us?
Well, you're about to suggest some smuggling.
Now, just consider that you're acting the part of a confidential courier.
Yeah, of course, it's dishonest.
Well, of course. But everybody does it.
Everyone?
You'd be surprised how many. People whose credentials are impeccable.
But those people are thieves.
Perhaps. But only a little bit.
One cannot be a little bit of a thief.
You are.
Me?
Yes. Don't you steal packets of sugar from restaurant tables?
Oh, well, that isn't stealing.
Well, I suppose it's all in the way you look at it.
Well, how can you compare? You mind dropping me off at my place?
Well, I tried.
Well, thank you, Perry, but I don't think I'd be interested.
Ah, Mr. Crawford.
Oh, yes. What is it, Sefkins?
Shall you be having lunch at home, sir?
I suppose so. Oh, Sefkins, I brought some sugar home last night.
Yes, I'm aware of that. I emptied your jacket pockets this morning.
Are you laughing at me?
Oh, no, sir. No, sir.
We have to tighten our belts. Any economy, no matter how small, is important.
Yes, sir.
And if we're not required to purchase sugar over the course of a year, isn't that an important saving?
Yes, sir. Just pardon me, sir. Mr. Crawford's residence. It's who's calling? Oh. I'm sorry, sir. Mr. Crawford is out. Yes, I shall give him your message.
Who's that?
The bank, sir. The account seems to be overdrawn.
Well, that must be a mistake.
Oh, I'm afraid not.
Call back and say I'll deposit some money today.
Well, unfortunately, sir, I cannot do that. There are no funds, Mr. Crawford, anywhere.
Well, I expect my salary from the magazine.
Yes, but that will just cover the rent.
And then those articles I wrote for the...
Yes, sir, but that check is not due until the 15th of next month.
Huh. Well, obviously, we must do something, Sefkins.
Yes, sir.
Any mail this morning?
All bills.
Any calls?
Mr. Gulliver called, sir.
Perry, what do you want?
He just called to chat. I said you were busy writing.
Yes, yes, that's exactly what you should have told him.
That's all, sir.
And it's just as well. We've had enough bad news for one day.
Yes, sir.
Well, when one must... No. But, on the other hand...
Come on in, Wilson.
Perry, I'll be brief. This thing you discussed with me, I've decided to try it.
Well, I knew you would.
Just exactly what is involved?
Well, the next time you go to London, see, I know somebody who'll pay your fare and give you $1,000.
In return for what?
You carry a small package.
Which contains?
Usually, gems.
And then what?
Well, then someone will relieve you of your burden. And when you're ready to return, there'll be another package. And another fee. Well, what do you think?
I think it's wrong.
True.
But I plan to go to London next week.
Leave everything to me.
Are you at home to Miss Crawford, sir?
Oh, of course he's at home, Sefkins.
Miss Crawford, sir.
Thank you, Sefkins. That'll be all. Margaret, you shouldn't do that to poor Sefkins. You know how seriously he takes his job.
I don't have much time to waste.
Ah, yes, indeed. And yet, isn't time the image of eternity?
Oh, stop it. You always have to remind people how learned you are. That's why I divorced you.
Well, if memory serves, I divorced you.
We decided to part friends. We did have 15 years. And I admit I do have a residue of affection for you. We're still concerned with each other.
Are we?
For instance, the other night, you sought to warn me. You felt that I'm about to take a disastrous step. You were compelled to dissuade me. And so I have come here to dissuade you.
From what?
From whatever you propose to do with Perry Gulliver.
I don't propose to do anything with Perry Gulliver.
That's not true. Every time the two of you put your heads together, it's the beginning of a catastrophe.
You never liked Perry.
Perry Gulliver is a scoundrel.
Why?
Because he uses people. He's a thief.
Well, he may have lost other people's money on occasion.
Including yours.
Well, those were the breaks. The risks and chances you take.
Perry Gulliver is a thief in his heart.
Just exactly what have you come here to tell me?
I feel I should warn you. Keep away from Perry.
You're always jealous of him. As a matter of fact, you resented all of my friends.
Out of the goodness of my heart, I come up here to do you a good turn, and what do I receive? Scorn and abuse. All right. I wash my hands of the entire business.
She thinks she has. Little does Margaret know that soon she shall be immersed in this business up to her neck, if not higher. Wilson Crawford, Margaret Constant, and Perry Gulliver, a trio, but they shall become a duo in Act Two. And may we expect a solo in Act Three? Patience, friends, we're getting there.
Yes, theoretically, an earthquake of a certain intensity at the right place could carry the state of California into the sea.
Read Goodbye, California by Alistair MacLean, the story of a fanatical terrorist whose ability to detonate an atomic bomb gives him the ultimate blackmail weapon, earthquake. An earthquake so monstrous it could mean
goodbye, California.
The authorities are helpless, but one man alone, a super cop driven by a personal motive, races to meet the terrorist head on, a race that must be won, or else it's
goodbye, California.
Read Goodbye, California by Alistair MacLean. A story of daring, danger, and the threat of a doomsday that could happen tomorrow. If you enjoy suspense, get set for a thrilling experience, because you are going to live that experience in Goodbye, California by Alistair MacLean. Now in paperback from Fawcett.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Are you in the market for a used car? If you are, it would be wise to shop around until you get a feel for the market. It's important for you to find out if the car is covered by a warranty. A used car warranty is limited. For example, it may cover the first 1,000 miles or 30 days. Remember, however, the warranty is as good as the dealer who backs it. And you check his reliability with your local Better Business Bureau. Also, remember that careful inspection is the key to enjoying a used car. Be sure and look for rust. Check the tires, the shock absorbers, and the operating controls. And incidentally, it's also a good idea to take a test drive. You see, by giving the car the once-over before you buy it, you're protecting yourself against a faulty purchase and a lot of headaches after you've bought it. This has been a tip from your Better Business Bureau.
The commandments are uncompromising. They state in bold and fiery letters, "Thou shalt not." However, we imperfect mortals here below try to shade the meanings here and there. We console ourselves by saying, doesn't everybody do it? Well, whether or not everybody does or doesn't, a gentleman named Wilson Crawford is about to.
I'll get that, Sefkins. Don't bother. Hello?
Wilson?
Oh, it's you, Perry.
Well, weren't you expecting my call?
Yes, I suppose I was.
Well, I'll drive you to the airport. Can you be downstairs in 10 minutes?
Yes, I suppose so.
Good, I have your ticket and a package. A rather small one. It should fit into your attaché case.
Perry, I don't know...
Don't be so nervous. The thing is absolutely ironclad, surefire, and foolproof.
You have your tickets? And the packet.
What's in it?
That's really not your affair.
Well, it'll be very much my affair if I'm caught.
But you shall not be caught.
How can you be sure?
Because you're you. Wilson Crawford, the eminent critic. Your reputation protects you.
Yes, my reputation. And I'm selling it.
For a handsome fee.
As Samuel Johnson said... Madam, we've already established what you are. We're merely haggling over the price.
Wilson, let us not go into an essay on morality.
What am I carrying?
Leave it in your luggage. It'll be picked up in your hotel room.
But what am I carrying?
And you'll find another packet in its place.
Perry, answer the question.
And also an envelope with your money.
Perry?
In crisp new bills.
I won't get on that plane until you tell me.
Diamonds. Now, are you happy?
No, I'm not happy. It's just... if it had been something else, I would have refused.
You take what you get, Wilson. And once you're really in this thing, you never even think about it.
And so, I say to you... my accusers, it is you who stand accused. I shall die at the stake, but a purer flame already shines in my heart. Am I saying that right?
If anyone, anywhere could ever give that line a more transcendent meaning, my name is not Kavalevsky.
What bothers me is, how can a flame shine in one's heart? I mean, shouldn't it burn?
How quickly we jump to the obvious interpretation.
It's just the kind of line that Wilson would tear me to pieces for in his review.
Wilson, I see, my darling, you are still not free from him yet.
Well, I'm just asking.
Trust me. It is not the literal word that matters. It is the tension in the voice.
Oh.
Besides, I believe your Mr. Wilson is at present in the United Kingdom.
He'll be here for opening night if he has to swim all the way. That's what I'm afraid of.
Courage, my darling. You are no longer the Trilby to his Svengali. Now let us reach for true grace.
Wilson, you're back. Well, why didn't you call me?
Let's skip my mind, Perry.
You were to call me as soon as you arrived home.
I know, but this is an opening night.
You have something to deliver to me?
Oh, yes, I suppose I have.
You suppose?
Yes, an envelope. A very large cellophane envelope. It appeared to contain several pounds of... Well, it looked like sugar.
You had no business opening it.
No one would pay to smuggle a few pounds of sugar, so I must assume it was a drug.
Hand it over.
I draw the line at that. So it's just as well.
But, well, what is just as well?
It's just as well that I lost it.
You what?
I must have lost it. I don't have it.
Just hold it. Hold it for a minute.
Therefore, since I cannot deliver the goods, I cannot accept the money. Here it is. Same crisp bills, $1,000. Furthermore, Perry, I've decided this isn't for me.
Wilson, you had better give me that package.
This is morally wrong. How can I do it? Margaret was right about you.
Margaret? What does Margaret have to do with it?
She smelled a rat long before I did. All she had to do was see us sitting together in that restaurant, and she knew there was trouble.
Listen to me.
She's right. You are a thief. Well, be one without me. I quit.
You can't quit.
Watch me.
They won't let you quit.
They?
Wilson, I am responsible for you. Because I brought you into it, I'll be held accountable.
I'll go to the police.
Do you know what you're talking about?
I must be on my way. I have a play to review. An alleged play.
You must give me that package.
I told you, I don't have it.
What happened to it?
I don't know. It's just gone, that's all.
It was placed inside your suitcase when you left London.
And yet when I looked for it this morning, it wasn't there.
Well, what could have happened to it?
I haven't the vaguest idea.
They won't believe it. They'll think you sold it on your own. The street value of that package is well over $1 million.
Indeed. Well, I can't miss the opening curtain.
Wilson, don't force me to...
To what?
To do something drastic. I am responsible for you.
You should be. And I'm responsible for you, too. After all, a man should always be his brother's keeper.
Hello? This is Marigold.
This is Perry. Perry Gulliver. I think we have a problem.
A problem?
Yes, Wilson Crawford wants to quit.
You must convince him that it's impossible.
But that's only a half of it.
Yes?
He doesn't have the package.
The package?
The one he was to bring from London.
He doesn't have it.
He claims it's lost. He can't find it.
Yes?
That's why I say we have a problem.
We have no problem, Mr. Gulliver. You have a problem.
But I
brought him into the activity. You are responsible.
But what is there I can do?
Whatever is required to obtain the package.
But how can I do that?
You had better learn, and quickly. It's your responsibility.
Margaret, darling, you were wonderful.
Thank you.
An entire new career is before you.
I showed him, didn't I?
You were incandescent.
Oh, listen, it is 11:20 yet. Wilson's review is coming on in a moment.
Must we listen to that fool?
Oh, I want to hear him eat his words. Turn it on for me.
Must you listen to that spiteful, bitter...
Please,
stupid...
turn it on.
Good evening. This is Wilson Crawford. I said to my producer, how can a news segment do justice to a play in the 3 minutes this permits me? Well, for Joan of Arc, a new drama written and directed by Alexander Kavalevsky, one requires not just 3 minutes, but 3 hours, 3 days. How does one even begin to explore the torturous reasoning, or lack of it, which prompted so many people to associate themselves with this pathetic, hopeless excursion into banality and futility?
How dare you, Wilson?
And Margaret Constance as Joan of Arc. She is punished for... for her hubris. For the first time on stage, she looks her age.
Oh, I'm chilling.
The ludicrous spectacle of this aging woman of the world desperately trying to convince us that she is the chaste, spiritual teenage girl who is filled with the rapture of heavenly voices.
Turn it off! He does not deserve to live. I'll kill him with my own hands.
Mr. Crawford?
What is it, Sefkins?
The doorman telephoned, sir. Miss Constant is on the way up.
Oh, we'd better lock the door until she cools off a bit.
I'm afraid that might not be possible, sir. She may still have her key.
I'm afraid she does.
Wilson? Wilson Crawford?
Looking for me, Margaret?
I'm going to kill you, Wilson.
Why?
You destroyed me tonight.
I would suppose you destroyed yourself.
You won't get away with it.
You can't deny you were wrong.
You heard what I said. I am going to kill you.
Go ahead. Kill me or don't kill me, but let's not play another bad scene.
You don't believe me.
Did you bring along a gun, a knife, poison? How's it going to be?
Miss Crawford, you're quite upset. And if you'll pardon my saying...
Sefkins, she can't kill me. She didn't come prepared.
I could kill you with this.
Now, Miss Constance.
I bought you this jeweled letter opener.
Miss Crawford, please, put that thing down.
Let her play the scene, Sefkins.
You think this is a joke?
It's bad theater. And we must not subject poor Sefkins to a mediocre performance. Sefkins, why don't you go to bed?
But, sir, I think we should...
Thank you, Sefkins. Good night.
Good night, sir. Good night, Miss Constance.
And now, dear Margaret, where were we?
I'm going to kill you, not only because of your review tonight, but because of your arrogance.
Poor, poor Margaret.
You don't believe me.
Margaret.
Oh.
Margaret.
Stop that.
Let go of that letter opener.
I'm going to kill you.
Let go, Margaret.
Margaret, you're hurting my arm.
Drop it.
I hate you.
I'm sorry, Margaret, but I had to write that review.
Oh, you destroyed me.
I destroyed a false and ludicrous woman you were trying to be. It was necessary surgery.
Who asked you?
No one had to ask me. Now you can go back to the Margaret Constant who is true to herself.
I never want to see you again, as long as I live. What? Who's that? Oh, what time is it? It's morning. All right, just a minute. Let me put on a robe. Oh, who are you? Why are you ringing my bell? And why did the elevator man let you come up?
Miss Margaret Constant.
And if I am?
If you are, I have to talk to you.
About what?
A murder.
A murder?
I'm Lieutenant Taplick of the Homicide Division.
And you wake me up at this ungodly hour of the morning. Don't you people ever sleep?
I'm sorry, Miss Constant.
Well, why do you come to me? I can't help you. I don't know anything about murder. I don't even know anyone who ever was murdered.
Unfortunately, Miss Constant, you do. Or you did know someone who has just been murdered.
Do I? Who?
Mr. Crawford. Mr. Wilson Crawford.
You've heard them shout at ball games, "Kill the umpire." And many people in the theater harbor similar feelings about critics. If this homicide lieutenant is to be believed, someone has just murdered our friend Wilson Crawford. No wonder the police have made a beeline for Margaret Constance's apartment. After all, she made no secret of her feelings concerning Crawford. She's in for rough sledding in Act 3, I can promise you.
I love country, and I love hickory farms. Hi there. It's me, Marty Robbins.
Oh, Mr. Marty. Charles Emerson Bentley III here. Nice to see you again. I say, are you celebrating Washington's birthday?
Oh, yeah, Chuck. In fact, my wife picked up a bunch of Hickory Farms fantastic beef stick summer sausage. You know, they got a special going on from now to Washington's birthday. It's a real deal. You can buy a whole beef stick summer sausage for only $3.29 a pound. And of course, she got a bunch of the different cheese. They've got over 126 kinds. And we're going to take all of that over to the 4-H Hall for a good old Washington's birthday square dance.
Smashing, Mr. Marty. My wife Bunny and I might just drop by for a few, how do you say, do-si-don'ts or do-si-do's.
Hot dog, I'm proud to be a Hickory Farms boy.
Hickory Farms of Ohio. Sample any of our special event foods, including 126 kinds of cheese.
What if you went off to college and found that you were different from everyone else, and everything was designed for them, not for you? Suppose you went to the library and all the books you needed were in Braille, and you were the only one who couldn't read. You'd feel left out, wouldn't you? And what if you went to class and found that there were no chairs, because all the other students rolled in with their own wheelchairs? Suppose one of your professors gave his lectures talking with his hands, only his hands, and everyone understood sign language except you. You'd think it wasn't fair. Well, that's how handicapped people feel now when they go to college and find extra handicaps. But things are changing, and we have free information that can help. Write Closer Look, Box 1492, Washington, D.C., 20013. A public service message on behalf of the United States Office of Education. Preserve, said the Roman philosopher, at all times a temperate and pacific posture toward the world. Thus, you shall be spared the storms that constantly buffet the headstrong, the turbulent, and the unruly. Excellent counsel. A wise man does not broadcast any feelings of violence he may harbor against another. Look what's happened to poor Margaret Constant. She kept raging about how she was going to kill Wilson Crawford. So, naturally, when Wilson is murdered, the police do not have far to go.
Wilson? Wilson is dead?
Yes, Miss Constant.
Oh, it's impossible. I was with him last night.
For how long?
Well, it was 5 minutes, more or less.
What time?
Well, let's see. I heard the broadcast. It was 11:20. I took a taxi to the apartment. It was 11:45, about.
The approximate time of the murder.
Who would want to kill Wilson?
I am also saying that you were there at about the time of the murder.
What?
Finally, I'm saying that I should read you your rights as a citizen, and then I must ask you to come downtown. Mr. Sefkins, did you hear Miss Constant threaten to kill Mr. Crawford?
Unfortunately.
And how did she say she would do it?
With your permission, sir. They were both highly volatile people. She was furious. And they played a scene, as they so often did. I suppose they enjoyed the drama.
That's what it was, a scene?
Yes, that's what I thought it was. I'd had 15 years of it during their marriage. Indeed, that's why I left the room and went to bed.
And she picked up the letter opener from the desk and said, "I'll kill you with this."
Yes, sir.
And you then left the room?
Yes, sir. I didn't think that she
and
was...
And about 7 a.m., you came into the room, found Mr. Crawford dead on the floor.
Yes, sir.
He had been stabbed in the back. And the letter opener was lying there next to him.
Permit me, sir, if I may. They were both angry at themselves. You see, they had no business being divorced. They cared for each other very much.
That isn't true, Sefkins.
This was all a misunderstanding. She was furious. But he incited her, and I think it was their way of making love.
How dare you, Sefkins?
They played one of their usual violent scenes. Oh. But this time it just got out of hand, that's all.
That isn't true.
She didn't mean to kill him, Lieutenant.
I didn't kill him. I didn't.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sefkins. That'll be all. Miss Constance, you ready to make a statement?
Yes, the same one I've been making all along. I didn't do it.
You had the motive. You made the threat. You were there at the approximate time of the killing. Your fingerprints are on the murder weapon.
Lieutenant, I was furious. I did say I'll kill you. I did go to the apartment. I did pick up the letter opener. But after Sefkins left the room, I even fought with him. But only for a moment. And then I threw the letter opener on the floor and I went home. And that's what I intend to tell the jury.
And you expect them to believe it?
Yes, because it's true.
No, Miss Constance,
I didn't kill him, and you know it. I loved him. I'm a fool, but I'm not a murderer. I know who killed Wilson. Perry Gulliver.
Where does he come into this? Where's your proof? How can you accuse someone of murder without proof?
You accused me. What did you have? A few flimsy pieces of circumstantial evidence?
Well, what do you got?
Wilson spent all of last week in London. Why?
What does that have to do with anything?
When Wilson goes to London, it's on business.
All right. So he had business.
What business? The only reason his magazine would send him would be to review the new plays there. It's the end of the season. There aren't any. So why did he go?
Well, maybe it was a pleasure trip.
No, he couldn't afford it. He was broke.
Well, all right. I still don't see
why. One night, I see Wilson and Perry very chummy in a restaurant. A few days later, Wilson flies to London. A week later, he returns. On the next day, he's murdered. Obviously, Perry sent Wilson to London. Why?
Why?
What was Wilson supposed to be doing in London? He didn't write anything.
Well, how do you know?
I have friends in London. They kept an eye on him for me. Went to a few parties and came home.
All right, so where are we?
If Wilson didn't go there to do anything, perhaps he went there to get something.
What?
How do I know what? You're the professional. Don't you have any ideas? I've opened a world of infinite possibilities. Now, if this were a play...
Well, Miss Constance, this is not the theater.
Well, you see, we have Perry Gulliver sending Wilson to London for something.
But what?
Drugs, diamonds, military secrets. Don't you ever go to the movies? When Wilson returned, they quarreled about it.
Well, how do we know?
How do we know? That's something we can prove. Maybe.
Sir, how may I be of service, Lieutenant?
Let me ask him.
Well, go ahead. It's your investigation.
When Mr. Crawford returned from London, did Perry Gulliver visit him?
Yes.
See, Lieutenant? Do you know why, Sefkins?
Mr. Gulliver seemed somewhat upset.
Why?
Miss Constance, I never eavesdrop. You know that.
Why do you say Mr. Gulliver seemed upset?
Lieutenant, as Mr. Gulliver was leaving, I gathered he was angry because Mr. Crawford was supposed to have brought something from London.
I told you.
All right. When Mr. Crawford came home from the airport, did he have his luggage?
Yes, sir, his suitcase.
Did you unpack it as usual?
Yes. First, I ran Mr. Crawford's tub, and as he was bathing, I put away his things.
Did you notice anything unusual in the suitcase?
Unusual? No, sir.
Nothing at all?
Think, Sefkins.
Well, you might call it unusual, but I'd already become used to it.
Used to what?
The sugar.
Sugar?
Miss Constance, after you left him, Mr. Crawford developed the oddest habits. He collected sugar. That is, while dining out, he would, loot the sugar containers, take packets of it, and bring them home to me.
And he had sugar In his suitcase.
Well, sir, I noticed some of it had spilled. It was in a sort of baggage. I opened it, and there was a rather a large amount.
Sugar.
As I said to myself, now this is too much. Packets are one thing, but loose sugar. Now this has got to stop. Besides, I didn't like the looks of it.
The looks?
Yes. It was kind of powdery, so I poured it down the drain.
You poured it down the drain?
Yes, Miss Constant.
Lieutenant, it was a drug. Heroin, cocaine, whichever one of them looks like sugar.
Yeah, but we have no proof.
We can get it.
How?
I'll call Perry. Tell him to meet me at my place. I'll say I have the stuff. And I'll deal with him, see?
See what?
I'll get him to admit that he killed Wilson. You can be in the bedroom at the moment juste. You step out and you put the cuffs on him.
Well, it works okay in those cop shows, but I can't do it.
Why not?
It's entrapment. It's against the law.
I intend to accuse Perry of murder. I intend to tell him why he killed Wilson. He may try to kill me, and I could use some protection.
Yeah, but Miss Constant, what do we do if it was only sugar?
I'll call him right now.
Not from police headquarters.
Well, what an amusing story, Margaret, dear.
I knew the two of you couldn't be up to any good, so I confronted Wilson. I got it out of him. I could get anything out of him.
Yes, except a good review, which is why you killed him.
I didn't. You did.
Well, evidently, the police are satisfied with you.
Are you satisfied with me, Perry? How about your conscience?
Oh, dear Margaret, I was born without one.
How about your safety? You were handling those drugs for someone. There weren't an accounting. Suppose I were to tell you, I know where the drugs are.
You? What?
Ah. Wilson came home. He told me everything. I convinced him to give me the drugs for safekeeping. Do you want to hear more?
Go on.
Quite frankly, the idea was to hold you up. But you came back last night. Right after I left, you got into a fight with Wilson. You killed him. Where did it get you? I have the drugs.
What drugs?
I need money, Perry. I didn't kill him, but they've got circumstantial evidence. I'll need the best lawyer in the country. I'll make a deal for the drugs. But I don't know how to go about it. Now, you go back to your people. You tell them. I'll be reasonable. I only want enough for the best lawyer. That's all.
How do I know you've got the drugs? Show me.
Bring me the money.
How much money?
$50,000.
$50,000?
I may need more. Make it $100,000. It's nothing. I understand this package is worth millions.
But I...
I'll sink you with me, Perry. I'll confess this part of it to the police.
Oh, you can't prove it.
What do I have to prove? At my trial, I'll insist you killed him for the drugs.
The jury won't believe you.
Oh, but your friends will. So, do you get me the money?
Margaret, I...
A good lawyer gets me a light sentence. You save your own life. It's the best deal you can get. Oh, poor Perry. You really didn't want to kill him, but you were in so deep you couldn't help it. You're not really a killer. A scoundrel, yes, but a killer, no. How was it, Perry? How? Come on. You have to tell it to someone. And you can trust me. What made you do it?
He laughed at me. You know Wilson.
Yes.
Yes, he only turned his back on me and he dismissed me.
The way he dismissed me.
Oh, I was furious. I saw that long, sharp letter opener lying on the floor, but I was cool enough to know what I was doing. I picked it up with my handkerchief, not to get any fingerprints, and I...
What? What did you do?
I plunged it into his back.
Oh, I'm going to be ill.
Catch her. She's going to faint. Catch her.
Wait. Who are you? Margaret, who is he?
Oh, permit me to introduce you. Perry Gulliver,
May I present Lieutenant Taplinger of the New York City Police?
Permit me now to function as head of the Department of Loose Ends. Perry Gulliver was convicted of the murder of Wilson Crawford, but he received a lighter than average sentence because he was able to give certain information concerning drug smuggling. Lieutenant Taplinger has become an avid theatergoer, and Miss Margaret Constant has become a dedicated amateur detective. They often meet to compare notes. Suppose we meet again in a few minutes.
Sinus flares up.
I'm clogged up. Headaches. My whole face hurts. Help!
Send for Sinoff.
Sinoff helps relieve your pain, helps clear congestion, ease sinus pressure and postnasal drip. Sinoff does it all.
Send for Sinoff.
And for the fastest known form of congestion relief, Sinoff spray. S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
The sinus medicine's in the bright red box.
Is here.
For occasional use, only as directed.
Gosh, you folks have a beautiful tan. You must have had a great foreign vacation.
It was terrible. The inspector took away my teddy bear stuffed with straw.
Sir, why would he do that?
I don't know.
It's because certain agricultural items are prohibited. They could bring a disease or pest to the U.S. It could start an epidemic.
Gosh.
Even one could.
Did you say pest?
Yes.
Then why didn't he confiscate you?
Even one can hurt. Right for travelers.
Know the law. Right travelers tips. USDA, Washington 20250.
Story is Everybody Does It. And thus is formed the heart and spirit of our morality. For what is morality? It comes from the word mores, which means custom, usage. And so the hard fact is we are what we do. What society sometimes approves of or winks at. A pity we cannot be that to which we aspire. Our cast included Robert Dryden, Carol Tytel, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Shinny, why did you have to go and meet my little brother before you did me?
What's that supposed to mean?
Don't tell me when I move close to you, you don't respond. Don't tell me you don't recognize that you should have been my woman from the start.
I think you must be out of your mind.
I am about you.
But I am your brother's wife.
Is that what you really want to be?
You know it is. Now, you just get your hands off of me.
I can't convince you otherwise. The moment I saw you, I said, that's my woman, the one I've been waiting for. You don't believe that.
It isn't a matter what I believe or what you believe. It's what is. I am your brother's wife. And I want you to let me go.
I'll never let you go, Jenny. Long as you're here, you're going to have to make your choice between my brother and me.
I've already made my choice.
Have you, Jenny? Have you really?
You must be playing crazy. I love your brother. And every breathing moment he's alive, I always will.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.